Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Cinema Wave podcast. We are covering House of the Dragon, episode 7 today. I will be one of your hosts. I am Liz Seiko, and I am joined by Mark on this episode.
Ooh, Liz, this is our first episode together in the history of Cinema Wave podcast. I'm so excited.
I'm hyped, too. And then we also have Vinny with us.
Hello, hello.
Okay, let's just get into it. Mark and I kind of caught up on each other's thoughts because we haven't really talked that much about overall House of the Dragon, but it seems like we're all on the same page a little bit, hoping that it gets a little bit more active, and just wanting them to have a powerful ending. I'm interested to hear both your thoughts on this episode. So let's go right into it. Opening scene is the two dragons. What did we think? Opening shot, opening scene.
Yeah,
Mark, go for it.
Yeah, we have the standoff between the two dragons. I think my initial thoughts is the way that Sea Smoke selected Adam felt very convenient. You know, Sea Smoke just leaves Dragonstone and then finds Adam, and then in the next scene he's facing off against Rhaenyra. I felt it all just came together, much like Game of Thrones season 8, where things just kind of happen because the plot needs them to happen. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, Adam has been looking for a reason or like a purpose in life, and he's wanted this kind of stepping stone to get into the limelight, and here's this opportunity. I'm very curious to see where his character goes, because right now he feels very much like a pushover. He's like, yeah, I'll do anything you want. You know, the dragon chose me, you know, I'll do whatever. And I'm very interested to see where his ambitions go, especially because he is Corlys's bastard, and we want to see, you know, does Corlys use this to his advantage, or does Adam kind of want to, you know, make his own life without his bastard father's, you know, kind of lineage? So interesting first scene for me, at least.
Vinny?
Yeah, so I agree. I think that recently this season has had a lot of conveniences, like you've mentioned, where it's felt like later half Game of Thrones, and that kind of, it digs into me. However, I will say the general opening in this self-containing this episode in of what it is itself, the opening is great. I love that shot, that extreme wide shot of the two dragons, like face by face on the, you know, Rhaenyra on the left side and Adam on the right side. It is an incredible shot, and it is so, it's so dramatic, and it's so like, I'm trying to almost like Renaissance-esque, like a painting that you would see from that era. It's beautiful. And honestly, I'll go into the cinematography later in this episode, because I think overall the cinematography here throughout this episode was my favorite part. There's some really cool stuff they do with the camera later on in the episode. And I think that with that, and also the interaction between Rhaenyra and Adam, starts off the episode very strong. But like I agree with you, Mark, Adam is interesting right now. He's very conveniently has a dragon now, and then on top of that, very conveniently is, you know, kneeling to Rhaenyra and just on board immediately.
Yeah.
I know Liz and I talked about last episode of him being a wild card. If his motives change later in the season, we only have one episode. If his motives change in season 3, it'd be very interesting to see his approach as a wild card as character.
Yeah. Definitely.
No, I agree. I think one thing that the opening sequence lacked for me was I just really want Rhaenyra to like own her power a little bit more. I felt like she seemed very not weak, but just not sure of what was happening when she was speaking with Adam, which I get because she is trying to like figure it out, but I don't know, I wanted her to be a little bit more assertive with telling him what to do rather than like asking him what he's gonna do.
Yeah, that's true,
because it's like you are his queen at the end of the day. Like, don't ask him like, oh, whose side are you going to be on, like, will you rule, like, be on my side, like, tell him like, I will teach you how to do this, but you're going to be on my side. And I was a little disappointed to see how quickly Adam just like fell into it of like, yep, I will do whatever you need me to do. I feel like if any person just became a king and queen in regular people's eyes. Like, there's a little bit of a chip on his shoulder that should be there. Yeah. So I was a little shocked by how they did that. But when I first saw the shot, I was ready. I was like, okay, this is giving Game of Thrones, dramatic, gorgeous shots, feeling the weight of the scene coming. And so I bought it, but wish a little bit of different things happened. I do think it was a really nice foreshadowing scene of the different events that were then going to unfold throughout the rest of the episode, especially with the other dragons. So I guess we'll start talking about just the big the big point in this is that now there are more dragon riders on Team Blackside than there ever has been in the whole show so far. What do we think, Vinny? I'm going to give it back to you. Did we like how it unfolded? Did were we shocked? Did we like that she let them all just like try? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, so it confirmed the theory that we were talking about way back at, I think it was like episode 3 when, you know, Ulf first says he's a bastard, and then we talked about on one of our episodes how, you know, the blacksmith is getting so much attention. He has white hair. And I was like, this is, he is obviously a Targaryen. So to have that confirmed is, inside, I'm like, yay, my theory is right. I do think it's interesting. It's interesting. I enjoy it, actually. I'm going to take the stance that I like this because it is pivoting the narrative in a direction where it's once again unpredictable. And I like that. I like the idea that Ulf is kind of this, you know, he's a bum.
Yeah, he's a loser.
Yeah. So
with a name like Ulf, I mean.
And having that character now riding a dragon, speaking of wild cards, that could be a huge wild card. I mean, off the bat, he makes a really foolish decision of just like going straight to King's Landing and making a point of like, I got a dragon now. So,
Do you think that was him making that decision, or do you think it was Rhaenyra being like telling him, as one of my weaker people and the smaller dragon, I want you to fly so that they know this?
Oh, I thought it was completely like he had no control over Silverwing. Like he might have, like, he imprinted on it, he got on it, and then Silverwing just took off and he's like, holy shit, I have no idea what this dragon's doing.
Yeah,
that's what I took it as, because it looks like he had no control of the dragon when he's over King's Landing. So that's how I took it.
Okay,
so that makes more sense. That makes more sense. But yeah, I think do we know the blacksmith's name?
Hugh.
Yeah.
Even Hugh's character, I like him. I'm intrigued. I like how this now, like I said, sets the narrative in a unpredictable direction. And then on top of that, if we're talking about cinematography, this whole scene, if y'all have ever seen Cloverfield.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
I was like, this is Cloverfield right now, but in House of the Dragon, which I thought was awesome. They made it look like all one take, and I watched the behind the scenes of how they did that. Just so cleverly done, beautiful cinematography, and you really feel the scale of that scene and how dangerous Vermithor is. And I thought that later half of the episode and the climax of this episode was just epic, and I'm excited to see where it takes us.
Yeah, it definitely felt like boots on the ground type of like camera work, which was cool, and very much like Hard Home and like Battle of the Bastards, like you're in it. So that was really cool. I, however, did not really love this sequence. I don't love the story beat that we're just going to stick as many Targaryen bastards into a room and like the dragons will imprint on one of them, right? And then we end up getting two. It works out really well. I didn't love that. I don't know how I feel about the bastards like Hugh and Ulf, because I feel like we had so much time with them that it was so obvious that the dragons were going to imprint on them. Like, there was no tension. Like, Hugh was just going to burn there because it would be like, why did we spend all this time with him if he wasn't going to get a dragon? And same thing with Ulf. So that part of it didn't feel like, oh, wow, it actually, like, I wasn't expecting that. Like, I very much was expecting these two to make it out. So I didn't love that. We obviously find out that at least Hugh, I don't know Ulf's lineage if they talk about that, but we know Hugh is very much like premium cut Targaryen, like Viserys and Daemon's sister or brother had he's their bastard.
I forget. They're Daemon's father's sister.
Daemon's father's sisters. He's
yes.
He's, okay.
Yeah. So they're like cousins.
Right. Him and okay. Daemon. Got it. Yeah. So definitely like premium stock Targaryen. Like that makes sense. I guess I just didn't like how, you know, it happened. I also don't like that the concept of dragon riding has now felt a little watered down because, you know, now Adam's done it in this episode without any training. Ulf, even though he might not have been controlled, he was able to do it all the way to King's Landing. Like, I feel like some of that magic was taken away, whereas like Game of Thrones, it was like a big deal to like get on that dragon the first time, or like Jon imprinting with the dragon with Dany and then like not feeling comfortable with it. So I felt like some of the magic of the world kind of went away because of the haste at which they did these 2 weeks of like just new dragon riders. Mm-hmm. Now they're here, now they're ready. So yeah, for me, like, I agree the way that they presented it camera work wise was really cool. I just think overall it didn't come together as triumphantly as I think they wanted it to.
I kind of lean toward Mark a little bit more on this.
Making my impression.
I think I do appreciate it, but I think it's because overall the whole season's just lacked action. That's why for me it feels like, ooh, finally, like we're getting some, like people dying essentially. Mm. Like finally we have some like movement. But I kind of agree of like, I knew, I was just like, okay, so the two people that we have been foreshadowing this entire season, those are going to be the two dragon riders. I think it would have been crazy and would have been more on par with Game of Thrones if one of them had died. Mm-hmm. And been like, oh, no, not everybody's Targaryen that thinks they are, actually.
Yeah.
Or maybe like have it next season one of them finds out rather than them both finding out. I thought it was very easy just to say like, oh, both of them are going to do this right now.
Yeah.
I am very interested to see what's going to happen with the two of them, like you are, Vinny, because I think there's a lot of foreshadowing in this episode about the risk that Rhaenyra is taking with letting them just take on these dragons. She, I think in her mind, is putting herself in a good position because now she has dragon numbers, but she doesn't know where these people that are riding these dragons actually stand.
Yeah.
And I think that was foreshadowed, one, in the fight between, or like the disagreement between her and Jace, because Jace was very upset that she was doing this. And then also, I don't know who it was. Who was the group of like people when she was about to speak to the group of bastards.
The dragon tamers, like the people that like control the dragon, they speak Valyrian. Yeah. I don't know what their official title is, but they were very against it.
And they were like, we're not going to help you do this, essentially. And so I just feel like if they're giving us those two breadcrumbs, they're really feeding us to get prepped that one or both or all three of these new riders are going to all of a sudden be like, wait, if I'm a dragon rider, why can't I be king?
Right.
And I feel like I do agree with you, Vinny, on this, though. It's now adding unpredictability, which is good, because so far it's just been green versus black. Who has more power? Who has the bigger dragon, essentially, right now? And now they're throwing in these three curveballs of like, are there now three new people that think that they deserve the dragons and deserve the power? Which I don't know. A part of me does believe Adam, because he did bow to her, that he is going to stay loyal. And I don't remember, does he know that who's his father, and does he just keep that hidden, or does he have no idea?
I think he knows. Alan is his other, as the other
brother.
I think they definitely both know, but I think Alan is more standoffish about it. Mm-hmm. And Adam's more like, we need to like press our advantage. Like that's our father. So yeah, I think they both.
I think
both,
he does too. So I could see him, just because he's already made that statement, sticking to it. But the other two, I mean, they never once said like, yeah, Queen Rhaenyra. They literally said like, especially Hugh, he said, well, I'm going to go get what's mine because I don't want to starve anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he's coming at it from a selfish point of view, not because he wants to help her win. He's coming at it because he wants power now.
Mm-hmm. He's got that Targaryen blood.
And I think it's a coming. Go ahead.
I see where you guys are coming from. And I do agree, actually, because Mark, you used the word haste. And I don't necessarily think that the story beat of the of 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 Rhaenyra's desperity of trying to get as many Targaryens in the room at once. I don't think that's necessarily a negative story beat, but it's rather, like you said, the haste of how it is. And I do agree with that. If the pacing of House of the Dragon has been a lot more breakneck compared to the slow burn of Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. where only like a episode or two ago, the idea was brought up and then immediately we're already done with that.
Right.
That subplot of like, okay, now the Dragon Rider's done. And, right. Mm-hmm. So I think this would have been more satisfying if we were given more time and it was fleshed out through, maybe this story beat could have been introduced earlier in the season rather than so late and then have it just be resolved so quickly and have that build up to this story beat where it would have felt more satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you bring up like a good point that I wanted to mention when you said it. My sister, we were talking about the episode and the Jay scene, which I really liked. I was like, oh, this is really good. And then she's like, but it was his plan to bring all the bastards together, the Red Dragon. So why is he now mad that it worked? And I was like, oh, damn, you're right. That does kind of suck.
Okay, so I kind of agree. I was just confused by what his motive was in that whole fight. Is it because he knows that he's now not going to be the heir?
I think it's just his insecurities that he knows he's a bastard and it's like, I'm the queen's son and I have a dragon, but now if anyone has a dragon and they have Targaryen blood, like, they're kind of my equal now. Mm-hmm. And like, him being a bastard is now equal to Hugh being a bastard, and I think he just feels insecure about that.
Yeah.
But I agree, like, his motivations this season have been kind of like wishy-washy. Like, one episode he hates his mom, and the next episode he's like, I'll do anything for you.
Yeah, like, I'm so confused by his character. I want him to be like that right hand guy for her that's like, no, whatever my mom wants, I'm gonna do what my mom wants. But I just feel like he's always like brooding. It's like, my mom's not listening to me, and I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I will say it's more on the performances here. I don't know Harry Collette and mm-hmm. Emma Darcy. I feel this is kind of a tangent, but I feel that they feel more of mother and son than Aegon and Allison Aemond and Allison. Like, their performances, I feel their chemistry feels a lot more mother-son-like than the other mothers and sons we see in the series. I just wanted to point that out.
You know, I agree with you. There's definitely, when they go on scenes together, there's a little bit more of like emotion or just like care going on. But I think it's also on Emma Darcy's side that they just are easier to, they're more tapped into that emotion of like taking care of their baby. But yeah, I was a little surprised by that scene. I was like, what's going on and what are these motives? Right. But I mean, he's not wrong, because if you think about it, once these two new characters, Ulf and Hugh, start kind of like connecting the lines of their lineage, I mean, technically one of them is more in, what am I trying to say?
Like next in line.
Next in line, right, versus Rhaenyra, right?
Yeah, it would be like Rhaenyra, Daemon, them probably, and then Jace. That makes sense.
So he's not wrong to be like terrified about this. And also, I think the element is that, like, why does she need to announce this? Why can't they do it a little bit more secretive rather than making like broad announcements about like, we're looking for bastards, everybody? Like,
right, like, yeah, where's like King's Landing security? Like, how, like, no one's like realizing that there's a mass exodus of people and that like food is coming in from Rhaenyra. It's like, should we shore up the border? Like, what's going on here? Adam, so this is a question I had. So Corlys Velaryon, right? Like, do Velaryons have the ability to ride dragons, or is like the person that Corlys had this bastard with, are they the Targaryen?
They,
and then Adam is able to fly the dragon.
To my knowledge, they do not have the ability to ride dragons. The other Velaryons in the show that we've seen, like Laenor, who rode Sea Smoke, his mother obviously being Rhaenys.
Okay.
And same with Bela and Daemon's ex-wife, who previously rode Vhagar, who was the daughter to Corlys and Rhaenys.
Okay.
So it's a valid point you bring up.
So what Targaryen did he sleep with?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't. Okay. They need to lay this out a little bit clearer, honestly, because sometimes I do feel like it's just like they're throwing names around and they're like, keep up. Good luck, everybody. But I don't know.
Yeah. I think I was confused just because, like, I know, like, the Valyrians, like, they were from old Valyria, and that's when, like, dragons were around and they speak High Valyrian. So it's like, I didn't know if they were also like dragon riders or if it was only Targaryens, but that makes sense.
Yeah, because they say a line in this episode. I forget at what point, but Adam does mention, I think with Alyn, the brother, about how Alyn's like, oh, my blood is only of salt and sea.
Okay, yeah.
And something like that. Yeah, it's kind of blurred, but I'm 95% sure, 90% sure that Valyrians cannot, although from old Valyria, cannot ride dragons like Targaryens can.
Got it.
The one thing that I really can't wait for, and I don't know if they're going to do this in the finale episode, is when Daemon finds out about all these new dragon riders. Because this man is in the dark. Yeah. Actually in the dark. He's like fully gone. And I feel like the moment that he shows up, he's going to be like, who are these people? And like, what did you do to our lineage?
Right. Daemon has been radio silent. He's been cut off. Radio silent.
Yeah. Mark, I need to know your thoughts because we haven't talked about him. Yeah. Do you like the dream world that he's in? Do you like his storyline? How are you feeling?
I think I agree with what you guys have been saying for weeks. It's just it's been drawn out. Yeah. I think the point of it was made already. He's kind of reflecting on his ambition for power, and now that he's like obtaining power, he's maybe regretting it. Like he has the scene with Viserys, that vision, he's like, the crown, you want it? Like, this is what it takes, because he just had to kill someone who was loyal to him and got him the power, and now he's kind of at the mercy of all these river lords that he thought he was the senior to. And I think now this whole season has just been him reflecting on, you know, do I actually want that power if it comes with all this stuff? Because he's always kind of been flying by the seat of his pants, and then power, you know, forces you to be structured, and Daemon is not structured. So I think I definitely agree with you guys that it didn't need to be this many episodes, but I think, as you've said, it was just biding time to get us to this showdown that I think is coming with Aemon. So yeah, I like this episode. I like his role in this episode. The Riverlands part of it, but yeah, it didn't need to be. How many episodes has it been? Like six or
seven?
Seven.
He left at the end of episode one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I forget when he made it to Harrenhal.
It was the second episode, I'm pretty sure, is when it was like him, when you were like, oh, he's so much swagger of like him like walking around. Yeah. And now it's like, oh God, like five episodes later, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Do you think the witch is real? I still stand by that theory that Rivers, the girl that has been making him the potion and stuff, do you guys think she's real? I still think it's like a figment of his imagination, but she's not actually there.
A part of like the Harrenhal hallucination.
Like curse kind of thing.
Yeah. I kind of am on your side that she's not really there.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't interact with anybody else.
Right. Yeah. That's And then there was a scene, and I saw this online, but I recognize it in the episode too. There's a scene where that old guy that's kind of been like the person that's been walking him around, Daemon's having this conversation with her in the hallway, and then she walks by and the old guy like looks at her like this, and then she like doesn't appear behind him, and he's just like, that was, who are you talking to?
Oh,
and then,
totally, she does.
So
I don't,
I was like, oh, that looks like it confirms that.
Yeah.
So.
It's just him having like another delusion that's going on. This is probably one of my favorite episodes in a long time for him, because he's finally having meaty scenes and being put into pressure situations, not just like whimsically dreaming.
I really liked that scene with the River Lords, because one, it's Daemon is finally kind of getting a taste of his own medicine, you know, like being called out, and there were so many great lines of dialogue of like just the punches that are thrown at him, and seeing that, and finally, and then the vision afterward with Viserys, that is kind of putting Daemon now in a more, like you guys mentioned, how he lacked foundation, and now this is kind of rebuilding that foundation for him. And I also just liked seeing that dialogue exchange, like I said, with the River Lords and Daemon. How you could, like, Matt Smith does such a great job, because you could tell, like, he's just irking to say something, like a bully, you know? Yeah. He's like a bully, and he's like irking to be like, say something, but he knows, like, he's just gonna make a fool of himself if he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also like that we're finally seeing more of the River Lords and the power that they do hold in the structure, because I think that they're going to be a huge part in this next episode, especially if this big fight scene does end up going down that I think everybody's predicting does. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see just connecting the dots more of like, okay, so who has the power amongst them and like what's going on exactly?
Yeah, I love that honor won for once in Game of Thrones world, like the honor of the River Lords, like their word, like that actually beat out the tyrants and the corruption. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, that's a new take for Game of Thrones. That's really cool. So yeah, and like that House Tully kid, like everyone was looking down on him, and he's like, all right, well, you want our swords, you gotta kill that guy that was loyal to you. Like it was like showing power without being this like great warrior. Yep. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me a lot of Bella Ramsey in mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, and now Oscar Tully. I'm really enjoying him.
Go off on him. No, I'm excited to see what happens with them. Why don't we switch sides and go to green a little bit?
Okay.
Let's start with Allison.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with her, guys?
she's searching for, she's having a retreat. I think it's interesting. This is not having to do anything with the story, but I enjoyed the shots that came from her outdoor exploration.
Adventure.
I've become so accustomed whenever I turn the show on to like the dark, moody interior to then have these beautiful wide shots of like this really saturated green, and then the wide shot of just like the river and her in the right hand corner, like plopping her way into the river, or I mean the lake. And that was just very beautiful. Like the chemistry in my brain was like, wow, that was nice. but I'm this. It's interesting. I feel like it might come off as filler, but I also think that this isn't necessarily bad, because it is showing that Allison is, after last episode where Aemon is just like, we don't need you on this council, she's reflecting. And it's not like we spend too much time with her. Mm-hmm. I don't think that any more time I would have been like, okay, this is, let's get over it. But we get just enough time with her, I think.
I was I don't know if either of you know like Hamlet at all, but it was giving like Ophelia vibes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
And so for a second I was, especially when they showed her hair, I was like, oh my god. I was like, did Allison just like kill herself? I'm like, what's going on here? Which I also wouldn't hate though, because a part of me, and this was a theory that I had a couple of episodes ago, I feel like her storyline is starting to dwindle down and she might get killed off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I feel that way. I just feel like she isn't giving too much to the world and to anybody at this point. And in this world, if you're not bringing anything to the table, you are done.
Yeah, she's out of the game right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank God you knew Shakespeare, because I didn't want to say something dumb. I was like, this reminds me of Shakespeare, but I'm not going to say the wrong play. Mm-hmm. I agree with you guys. I don't think it was bad. I thought it was, you know, interesting to just see where her head state is at. And yeah, I thought, did she just kill herself? And see that? I'm curious what the symbolism of the hawk or the eagle flying over, when she sees that and that gets her to like spring up and get out of the water. I'm curious what they're thinking or like foreshadowing with that. But yeah, other than that, I don't have much other than, yeah, she's like, she's out of the game and there needs to be some change, or
there needs to be something. A part of me thinks it might be because they brought up Otto again, just very briefly in like a conversation of, I don't remember what they said, but they're like, oh, it's making like slow progress or something. So I wonder if she reconnects with her father somehow, because that's like the only safety that she really has right now.
Right.
I also want Otto to come back. I love that actor, and I just feel like he has so much dimension. They keep giving him his name around, so I'm interested.
Yeah,
I hope he comes
and
back.
And Gawain, like her brother, like she's had like these conversations with him, so like he's still there for her. She might like fall back to him. Mm. And did they say she had like a son at?
Yes.
At the place.
Yeah, she has another son that we haven't seen yet.
Okay. So she has that to live for. So yes. Maybe she should go back to the house and check on him, and maybe she'll like shack up with like Otto, her brother, and then their son
figure
something out. I don't know. I mean, is that son with that's a son out of like not with Viserys, so not a Targaryen?
Or I'm not sure. Yeah,
I don't know either.
Is that son
actually
gonna get a dragon? Who knows?
Oh my god, can you imagine?
Allison gets a dragon. Allison gets a dragon on her side.
You get a dragon. You get a dragon.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I was mixed about her thing. I was kind of like, what's going on? Overall, though, I feel like this was a heavy black episode. It wasn't like Green didn't get a lot of screen time. Even Aegon got some, actually.
Yeah, he got his like walking. He's recovering. I would love, because I think Aegon has been such a strong character, I would love to see him turn around and like outsmart or overtake Aemon. Like Aemon is such like a so far ahead, and Aemon has been the one to be like, you're an idiot, you're a fool, like you haven't been taking this seriously. I think it'd be such a cool arc if Aegon flips and takes it seriously and then overtakes Aemon because Aemon underestimates him. I think that would be so cool, and especially with like Laris by his side, like them both being crippled, like kind of working together in the shadows. I think that would be really cool.
And another thing too is the first thing that pops in my mind is a visual parallel between his father, Viserys being that crippled king, and Aegon also being a now crippled king.
Yeah. I do wonder, do you think Laris is genuine? To who do you think he's more genuine to, Aegon or Aemon? Or is it just whoever gets the power? You think he's that slippery snake kind?
I think he's Littlefinger. He'll align with whoever.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because at first I was like, why is he pushing him so hard? I was like, is it because he wants him to just like die and like not recover fully, or is it because he genuinely wants him to? Yeah, so that guy, I'm like, I'm like, what's happening over here? What's going on? He's interesting. But then also, who do I want to talk about? Okay. Cole wasn't in this episode at all.
No.
Which I feels like weird. I would have rather have seen like their journey a little bit of just like, where are they at right now? Are they like struggling? Because they clearly, none of them wanted to go to this war and start traveling to go meet up with Daemon, essentially. So it's like, are they in good spirits? Are they not in good spirits? Are they freaking out? Are they worried? Did they see the other dragon? I just feel like they should have shown us a little kernel of like where that world or that group is at.
Yeah, they're heading to Harrenhal, right? Got it. Yeah, we didn't see the hand of the king in the episode.
Literally, we didn't see the hand of the king at all. We did see the king randomly at the end.
I think that you brought up Allison before and how you think how she's kind of dwindling away into almost inevitable death, but I think her character arc with Cole isn't over yet. We haven't got like the definite end to her character. So if Cole is gonna die, which he's definitely gonna die eventually sometime, and or if Allison's gonna die, there needs to be a final interaction, I believe. So that was the first thing that popped in my mind when we brought up the Allison whole situation, and I was like, I was thinking like, okay, where's Cole and how is their relationship going to end? You know, because we did have a moment where after he becomes Hand of King and I believe they were taking down the rat catchers that were hung, and you know, they have a very tense interaction together on the street, Allison and Cole. But I don't think that's the end. I don't think that's the end. I don't think that there's still more to be resolved, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he ignores her, like, when she comes into his room and he's, like, cleaning his sword and she's, like, asking him all these questions and he's just kind of like, nah, it's all good. Yeah. Damon's plan, we're all good. So, yeah, it's definitely unresolved.
Yeah, man. Do you... I don't want to... If jumping back to Team Black...
Jump just back. Briefly. Do it.
Because way, way, way back, actually, when we first... The first thing we brought up was the opening to the episode and... Liz, you said you kind of didn't like how Rhaenyra was very passive mm-hmm. within her interaction with Adam. How do you guys feel now that we are in the penultimate episode of this season? Just Rhaenyra overall is not queen material for this entire season. That's why, and I love Rhaenyra, I do. But she's been extremely passive, and I don't know if this is just a part of her character arc where she's having this bump and this low point after Lucerys' death, where she is desperate. She is looking towards Mysyria for that strength and that intelligence. And she's has that disparity to her and then also that insecurity to her where she can't take helm and drive the ship. Yeah. And just all throughout the season, I've just kept, especially now that we are coming on to episode 8, the finale, I'm just thinking like, wow, she so desperately wants to be queen, but she's not showing any traits of being a strong leader.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely felt very passive this entire season. Things have been going on around her and she hasn't really had a hand in things usually. What I think is very interesting is that she has been saying, I want no bloodshed, I want no bloodshed, I want no bloodshed, but she continues this war in an ego kind of thing. Like, I deserve, this was my throne, mm-hmm. I want that throne. But she always, like, reiterates, I don't want to shed any blood. But she has continually showed that she is willing to continue shedding blood. And that scene with Jace, when she says this to him, he's like, why do you still do this? Or something like that. And it's very interesting that she keeps saying that. And it's like, is she really, you know, this person we should be rooting for? Like, it is interesting. Like, mm-hmm. I do still root for her. Yeah. I still do like her. But it's just something that's kind of been... you know, being it keeps getting brought up and I'm like, interesting. And this was pretty much like she knew she was going to kill all these people. Like, she mm-hmm. knew that all these innocent people were going to die when she does this dragon pit test. And she starts with Vermithor, who she says is literally the most aggressive of the dragons outside mm-hmm. of Vhagar. My sister was like, why didn't she do Silverwing first? Like, Silverwing was more like calm and chill. Like, you have a room full of people, let's bring the chill one out first. Mm-hmm. And she's like, nope, let's bring in Vermithor. We need the biggest dragon. They got Vhagar. So I think she's making a lot of decisions that, you know, in one side of her mouth, she's saying no bloodshed. Then the other side of it, she's causing a lot of death. So mm-hmm. I think she's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think, like, to be a good king or queen, you do need to listen to the people that you have at your table, and she just is always getting ripped apart by everybody. Mm. Like, the only good the first good pick she ever made was by making Corlys her hand, because he actually is like standing by her. But a part of me thinks he's doing that only out of respect of the position, not necessarily out of respect for Rhaenyra as his queen. Mm. And so, I don't know, I just, like, want her, and I said this last episode, I want her to just step into the queen role and be, like, the bad bitch that we all want her to be, and a part of me thinks that it's just not in her, and I think that's why she low-key knows she needs Damon, because Damon does bring out that part of her of, like, fight. Right. And fire, and right now I think she just is a little insecure because she doesn't know what to do and is just kind of like throwing paint against the wall to see what sticks. And I think she really needs Damon, because he pitches idea and then she knows if that idea is bad or not. And rather, she's just doesn't have anybody. So I don't know. A part of me also thinks something bad is going to happen to Team Black in the next episode that then unleashes her anger.
Yeah, I mean, she's got all the dragons now, so like.
Yeah, don't think Team Green is going to lose in the next episode. A part of me thinks Team Black's going to take another big hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what, though.
Yeah, and I hope that this is intentionally, all of this passivity from her is intentionally her character arc, and eventually we'll have her, like you said, Liz, step into that bad bitch role, mm-hmm. right? But I just really, even if something does happen to Team Black in a negative consequence, I hope she doesn't regress back even further into this desperate, passive, like, she's said how earlier, in the earlier episodes, how she's like, oh, they don't fear me anymore. They don't fear me. I need them to fear me. And if something bad happens, she needs to take it in a way that's like, okay, this is my moment. I can't let this passivity go any longer, or more negative consequences are going to come. I just the worst. I mean, it's really coming from a place of fear after seeing season 8 of Game of Thrones and seeing how conveniently things kind of wrapped up and character arcs were just thrown into the, you know, into the shitter. And I don't want it to be that she continues this passivity and mm-hmm. she just doesn't have queen-like attributes and then somehow ends up on the throne. Mm-hmm. Like, this her character arc needs to happen. Right. You know, this might, I just hope that this is intentional, you know, mm-hmm. this, what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah, me too. So who's her, like, minister of, like, Whisper, Miseria, is that how you say the name?
Yeah.
I think a really, like, good example of the pacing is that we had this kiss last week between them, and then this week it's, they have, like, a room together, and they don't even bring it up. Like, it's not awkward, like, nothing, and there's no character interaction between them, and it's like, I feel like that's something we should bring up and talk about, but we kind of just brush past it, and she's like, this could work. I told King's Landing they're going to bring all these people in. Like, I feel like Rhaenyra would be like, okay, so now that we got that out of the way, about the other day.
Like, or, like, does one of them try to kiss the other again, and then the other person, like, shuts it down?
Yeah.
I felt so the same way, because a part of me, I was just, like, was, like, HBO just, like, queer baiting in the last episode to be like, oh, we have a girl-on-girl kiss, everybody. And, like, now it's just, like, never mind. We're not going to follow that plot line.
Yeah.
So, no, I actually 100% agree with you. I was under that impression within that scene. It was weird that nothing was brought up, and
it just felt like the pacing, like, you know,
like, does Rhaenyra stop trusting her a little bit more, because she's like, oh shit, like, I made a mistake, I'm like opening up too much to this girl. Like, there's so much. I just can't wait for Daemon to get back. He's gonna, like, blow shit up and just really, I don't know.
He's gonna roll up with what's his dragon's name? Cyrax?
Cyrax.
Yeah, he's gonna roll up and be like, yo, what the hell? Why are there, like, 5 dragons here with people on them? I thought my dragon was the coolest, and now there's someone's on Vermithor? What? Like, no, who's this guy, Hugh? Yeah, he's gonna be pissed. Speaking of unclaimed dragons, how have you guys felt about this whole, what's it called? Spot. What's that? The veil? How have you felt about this, like, veil storyline with, Rhaena and this rogue dragon that's killing sheep? I've felt it's been very confusing and kind of been just, like, shoved in, and I haven't really understand, like, where the veil stands. They're like, give us a dragon, and it's like, well, we have these 2 baby ones. It's like, those don't count, and then they kick her out. Like, I'm just, like, very confused about how they've been telling that part of the story.
I agree. It's almost like I've forgotten about it, because it's so, like, even last episode, it was so just kind of there, and then it was not there.
Yeah.
And, like, the rest of the episode just overshadowed it completely. It feels forced. It feels forced. I'm going to agree with that. I don't know. I don't really have much else to say about it, though, because it's so just kind of odd right now. And it's like, okay, so there's a random dragon. We're focusing on Rhaena. Rhaena, you know, obviously, infamously, does not have a dragon. She's tried and tried and has not been able to tame one. So they're kind of alluding to this point of, like, she's going to tame the wild dragon, but she's also leaving the veil. So, I mean, does she another convenience would be next episode, on her way out of the veil, somehow runs into this wild dragon. But Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because, like, if she's leaving the Vale, if she's going to be out, gone, then there was no point of even mentioning yeah. that there's a wild dragon unless, you know, unless Team Black hears of this knowledge or Team Green hears of this knowledge is like, okay, now we need new dragon riders and then tries to tame this dragon. Yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
But. I think she's going to find this dragon and just, like, bond with it, like, right yeah. off the bat. It's kind of just, it's gimmicky, and I know that's the route that they're going. I do find her character interesting. I think that they're not showing a lot for her, but also, like, giving her a lot of screen time compared to her sister. Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know if they're trying to yeah. show prep us for maybe she becomes more powerful than we're anticipating. But yeah. she's totally finding this dragon.
Right. Well,
I don't know if it's happening next episode. I would bet it does. But yeah.
At the pace we're going, it seems like.
Yeah. Otherwise, what was the whole point of her whole this whole season for
yeah.
her?
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe they're setting up that, like, a wild dragon is, like, it could be bigger. It could be, like, more ferocious than the ones that have been kind of caged in Dragonstone. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a bigger asset than these, like, cage like, I have no idea, like, yeah. why this is such a big deal of a dragon. But, yeah, I think, as we've seen, the dragons can just find their dragon riders. So it's she'll just crazy. Be walking, and the dragon will be like, I saw you were interested in me. Would you like a ride or something?
Yeah.
Okay, what other predictions do you guys have for the... Because we only have one more episode. This is crazy that there's... I feel like more stuff should have happened at this point. But I think they're just going to throw a huge packed episode at us.
Mm. Yeah, I don't have any major predictions. I think we'll have a standoff with Daemon and Aemon at Harrenhal. Harrenhal's been built up this whole mm-hmm. season. We have all these River Lords, obviously Vhagar. Cyrex has been just sleeping on the side of a mountain for this whole season. So I think that's my big prediction is something happens there and maybe that spurs... Rhaenyra to, you know, mobilize all these dragons she now has. I don't know, maybe Corlys, you know, finally, yeah, Corlys's ships are like a thing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen.
I have a very random prediction that will probably not happen in this, probably next season, but I'm just gonna throw it out there. I think Daemon's gonna kill Missandei. I think that Daemon, we're talking about how it's chaos right now at Dragonstone that once Daemon comes back after being, you know, not acknowledged of anything, he's going to kind of freak and be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And also seeing Missandei, someone that he had a prior relationship to and knows that she's kind of like she's even said she only works for people who have money and like she's loyal to the money. Yeah. So I think if Daemon knows of the true relationship that Rhaenyra and Missandei is having, and then on top of that, maybe Missandei is not as trustworthy as we think she is, which I personally think that. I think that she's doing a great job on Team Black right now, but I don't know. I still can't trust her. I can't trust someone that's just going to be like, yeah, I'm only loyal to the money, you know?
Right.
So I think there's going to be Daemon's going to kill her. After revealing some sort of knowledge that Rhaenyra doesn't know at that current time, and then Rhaenyra's gonna freak and be like, "Why'd you kill Missandei?" And then Daemon's like, "No, I did it for you. I did it for the Team Black.
Yeah.
You don't realize she was actually ulterior motives the whole time."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just where my brain is going.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be the big fight between Aemon and Daemon. I want there to be like a big surprise death. I don't know if they'll go that route though, because they already gave that to us in the end of season one. So I don't know if they'll just kill off an important person or if it's just going to be like an all out brawl kind of more.
Is it too early to kill Daemon?
I think Daemon has too much storyline still.
Yeah.
Is it too early to kill Aemon off? And then Alicent comes back to power while Aegon is still recovering.
Mm. Yeah. I think they need to do something pretty drastic.
They do. But a part of me still thinks that it's going to be Team Black that takes the hit.
Yeah.
Could Jace get killed? The heir?
I thought about that, but I don't think that's gonna happen because they already had a son die.
Yeah.
So I think if they're just gonna repeat the same like ending trope to season one, where it's like Rhaenyra's son tragically suddenly dies, and same with if per se, let's say Chase goes out in the same way, I think that'd just be like the biggest eye roll to be like, okay, now you're just repeating things, you know? So I personally believe that Chase is not going to die.
Okay. But we'll see what happens. I don't know. Yeah. I'm excited. I hope that they kill it. I hope that they show up. I don't think we have anything else to cover, right?
Nope.
Well, if you stayed with us through this whole review, please let us know what you think in the comments. Let us know if you liked this episode, if you're kind of on the same vibe as us, that we've been wanting more from this whole season, what your predictions are for the final episode. We only have one more left, and there's a lot for them to cover, a lot of storylines to give us a little bit more of a wrap-up to, or just give us more build-up for the next season. Just keep watching with us. Be back here for next episode next week. Well, I think all four of us actually might be covering it. Mark, Vinny, DJ, and I. So it's going to be a very big episode. I hope we're not disappointed. Thank you for watching our episode. Please subscribe to us. We have a lot of shows that we're covering, a lot of films. We just recorded Twisters today. And so big things coming. Please follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcast, covering everything and anything that we possibly can. So just signing off, I am Liz Seiko.
I'm Mark Iacobino.
I'm Vinny Albano.
Thank you for watching.
This is The Culture.